There are three words that no one ever wants to hear. You have cancer. But once the shock wanes and the treatment begins, patients face a number of decisions about treatment and how to proceed to take back control of their lives and their health. Sabrina Mosseau was recently named the executive director of New York Oncology Hematology, a regional cancer treatment and research provider across eastern New York. She says her background as a clinical nurse specialist and patient navigator will guide her in her new role.
I've actually worked in oncology for a little over 22 years, taking on increasingly more complex roles from basic bedside oncology care into education, and then spending about 14 years in the executive role with my prior job, really guiding cancer care, setting the vision for quality, and measuring outcomes to what does it mean for the patient and from the patient's point of view to receive the best care possible.
What does patient navigation actually mean? That is something you've been involved in.
I have. Patient navigation is, I would say, it's been a passion of mine for, honestly, again, well over 20 years. The intent of navigation is knowing that we exist in an increasingly complex healthcare system, and the treatment of cancer being one of those very complex disease states. What ends up happening with patients and the people we care for is there's cracks in the system, right? There's challenges. There's socioeconomic challenges. There's financial challenges. There are challenges with emotional things and with access to treatment and care and plain old understanding how good we are at cancer care, but how our language does not really match what an individual is able to understand. And the real intent of navigation is to break down those barriers, to fill in those gaps, and to really pull together disparate components of a healthcare team so that the patient sits at the center of that healthcare team, not in the periphery, but at the center where all of their questions and their access to care is actually overseen and, I would say, navigated by an individual. And that's really that concept of patient navigation to me.
When someone is diagnosed with cancer, obviously there's a lot of shock. There's a lot of anxiety. What is the first step that happens once that person is told you have cancer?
From the individual's point of view, and, you know, I've really been blessed for so many years of working with incredible human beings. It's the ability to process that information. So that information and that statement, you have cancer, is so fraught with emotion. It's fraught with expectation. It's fraught with what is your background and your family and your culture. Have you been able to access care before? What is your financial situation? What do I do with my children? What do I do with my job? How do I say the words, I have cancer? And so it's a complex question to ask because from the healthcare world, we have a map, right? We have a map of what quality care in specific disease states, looks like. From the patient's point of view, we have to be completely understanding of their understanding or their ability to comprehend. We have to have the patience and we have to have the ability to clearly communicate and allow that person and their family the room to either grieve for what is a perception of loss or grieve for a diagnosis of cancer brings an immediate loss of something to many people's lives. So it's really, it's our job role. It's our calling to make sure that we're attentive to that.
The American Cancer Society recently announced a drop of 27% in cancer rates over the past 25 years. There's probably a number of reasons why. What are the reasons, as far as you understand?
When I looked at that report, first of all, it was wonderful to see. So we do the good news dance, right? The cancer's declining. And so the report really, as of 2016, says the cancer death rate, really for both women and men combined, has fallen 27%, right, from the peak in 1991. What does that translate into per year? About 1.5%, or honestly, the good news, 2.6 million deaths were avoided between 1991 and 2016. How do you trace that back? What has been done that's been so significant that it's been 2.6 million deaths avoided? Well, a steady reduction in smoking, which we know from advocacy work, which we know from more attention to smoking and the risks of smoking. And then really great advances in early detection and treatment, right? There is always something to be said for screening and the number and the availability that we have for cancer screening. And hey, it's January, it's a new year, so a New Year's resolution would be make sure you get those cancer screenings, you know, that you really should be getting depending upon your age. And the kind of, I would say, the caution in that or some of the troubling things from that report is the socioeconomic gap and people's ability to access care, that continues to grow. So what could that translate into? Well, more affluent populations, they have access to screening for early detection. Early detection is better outcome. So where is our charge to overcome those socioeconomic gaps? And we also know that wonderful job that we're doing having people live longer, but also cancer rates go up with people's age. So we look for a cure, right? We strive for a cure. We're happy when we have control. But the reality is that cancer care is going to continue to grow in our older populations. So here we are looking at our landscape, looking at our market, and saying we have baby boomers who are going to continue to age. How do we and how are we challenged to be able to care appropriately for that population as it's looming on the horizon? That's a significant challenge still within that report.
It may not happen in my lifetime. It may not happen in your lifetime. Do you think cancer will be cured one day?
I would like to believe it would be. However, I'm a researcher at heart. You know, it's my kind of very, very first passion. And we're so highly complex as human beings. And we have such an interaction with not only our genetic makeup, but our environment and, you know, what we're putting in our mouths and how we're engaging in exercise and managing stress and, you know, et cetera. The laundry list goes on. So as I sit here and I mourn a little bit for lack of cure, cancer is 100 different plus different types of diseases, not a single disease. So the complexity in getting everybody, you know, all at the same time, all of the cancers. But the flip side is, do I believe that we're doing a better job at control, that people are living with cancer as a chronic disease? And do we shift from saying the words you have cancer and the reaction being the same as you have heart disease or you have diabetes, where people feel hopeful that it's long-term control and cancer is not the death sentence? That's where we have significant opportunity, and we've already proven that we have been able to have people live longer because of advances in medicine.
Sabrina Mosso was recently named the Executive Director of New York Oncology Hematology, a regional cancer treatment and research provider across Eastern New York.